Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Colby got that super swing, hotter than the arch in the summer flame. Got me soon as I saw his home runs. My eyes started focusing, the way he dived and made that play. Got me wanna save my love for him. He hit that triple, double, single, that smooth home run. Got a flat bill looking fine for him to shield the sun. Now take my eye black off, wipe it on my shirt. Colby is high like the fire.
Followed what he's done the last couple of years.
That was nice. Good callback. Tim brought that up. That was nice, Tim.
Yeah, I think I'm having a good show, but I think Doug, considering he's on 2.5 hours of sleep, has to get the game ball so far.
No.
I agree.
Yeah. Been sleeping through this one, fellas.
Sometimes when you get 8 hours, you make no sense at all. You're better on 2.5.
I'm just not going to be much good to yous. I'd like to go home and nap today. Don't know if I'll be able to.
Oh, that's lazy.
The rest of the world doesn't necessarily cooperate with naps.
We got nothing going on over at the house. Come on over.
Well, I got my own house.
Yeah, but you said it'll be a ruckus.
Stop bragging.
Well, I mean, dogs bark. People walk down the street.
Right.
Dogs
well, we don't
yapping.
Have that, baby. We don't have that.
Well, now you're complaining.
Come on over. See that Elysium restoration and design.
Hard to nap.
You're telling me that if you're on 2.5 hours sleep and then you lay down and your family abstains from calling you lazy or weak, and you get a chance to lay down, you're like, I can't sleep because there's a dog barking 2 blocks away?
No, my dogs bark.
Oh, Bandit.
They egg each other on, Bandit and Dora.
Dora? You don't talk much about Dora.
Yeah,
why do you hate her?
I don't. That's the one we inherited.
How did that happen?
I don't see any cool pictures of dressing up Dora.
Mother-in-law passed away.
Why don't you put the two dogs in the basement?
Well, then they would bark all the time.
Well, you're upstairs
in
your palace.
I'm not going to put the dog in the basement. I'm not going to lock the dog.
It's a multi-level home, right?
Well, of course. Kind of went without asking. Of course it is. Yeah, sure. It's hard to tell a dog, don't bark, and then for an hour or so, they're not going
to
bark.
No, it's hard to stop a train. It's easy to get a few winks when you need them. Now get to it, mister.
We're easier.
We're in the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. They're located at I-270 McDonald Boulevard. They're online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. Are you in the market for a new car? Or are you in the market for a pre-owned car? What about getting your car serviced? Do you need that? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, they have 37 service bays to serve you at Gateway Buick GMC. I-270 McDonald Boulevard, online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. It's Gateway Buick GMC. Gateway is the right way. Doug, here are the Barstool chicks talking about...
Come on.
What are they yapping about?
Elon Musk attending sex parties.
Mm-hmm. Elon Musk apparently went to a Silicon Valley sex bash where he was reportedly there for a couple hours.
They said that he did not know what the party entailed, thought it was a costume party.
Elon Musk walked through the door, saw the sex bash, and was like, I want to dive in. It doesn't blow my mind that a bunch of tech nerds take Molly and then cuddle with each other. Because I feel like that's where they dive into their creativeness and realize what they need to do to create. So they take the drugs, they trip, and they're like, oh my God, it would be really cool if we created this. Whoa. And there's their inventions.
But like, just think about if this came out with like a different area of work. Say like all news people.
That would be alarming.
Like that, right? Like that's what I'm saying. So it's nuts that it's Silicon Valley. They're like, it's tech.
I think in
I
order to
hear
get
the
to a different level of where Elon
to
Musk
be honest.
Thinks at, you got
I'm sure they
drugs.
Feel the same way about us.
Cat,
tip
now,
of the cap.
This is
tip of the cap for their success.
With your positive reaction, this news is going to be up your alley. They are actually going to be coming out with a radio show.
Yes.
Oh no. Hours of this kind of stuff.
Somebody tweeted at me. They broke news on their Twitter account, Chicks at the Office, or Chicks in the Office, that they are soon to be coming out with a radio show. So you think we play Barstool Chicks now.
Right.
Just wait till you start.
Yes.
Podcasting.
I think they've got a sensational brand. There's no question about it.
Congratulations to your girl, Francation.
That's a big deal.
Some might say that that's just the female version of this show.
Whoa. Yeah.
Where you just sit and talk about next to nothing for 3 hours.
Whoa. Yeah, but it's hard to find who their Deke Dotum is. And they might get one when they get on radio and get a text line. Maybe they have a Deke Dotum that gets suspended, but I'm excited to podcast their show.
If I may, and I'm not telling them how to run their show, but if they do tweet promotional material for their show, they really should include a GIF. Now, Tim did that with a great tweet the other day.
I did.
And I had to, I had to say, nice work. I was like, I was not even going to read that tweet, but he put a GIF.
Be sure to check out the piece this week written by Monique Medina. Monique works in Los Angeles for iHeart and shared some great insight on why sports radio brands should be utilizing GIFs to enhance their social media presentations.
I like when you call it a social media presentation.
A lot of thoughts go into my tweets. Mm-hmm. It's just here's something amusing from Lana Rhodes.
Oh, here's something that I find amusing that no one else will. Tweet it out. Or promoting the Cat Chat podcast.
Call me Kitty Cat.
Who's on the Cat Chat podcast tomorrow when it debuts?
I believe we got, and I don't see Seymour, I believe Vescursion drops tonight. And then it's Matt Carpenter.
Don't say drops.
What's wrong and with then that? In the hole.
I don't like drops.
Dan Patrick. So we have our next few laid
pretty
out.
Pretty good.
Already.
Pretty good. Doug, Bill DeWitt III, now available on the Inside STL Podcast Network. All you got to do is just, most people use iTunes.
It's true.
85% use iTunes. So if you don't have iTunes there, you can go on InsideSTL.com, and it's right there. Click on the podcast link at the top of the page. But if you do, just search for The Tim McKernan Show. Search for The Cat Chat. You subscribe. It's free, and then it's downloaded to your phone, and you can listen whenever you want. It couldn't be easier, and once you do it, you'll be like, oh, this is probably the way I'm going to consume audio going forward, because it's like on demand, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Bill DeWitt III, we have a great discussion on the red hat thing. Do we still have that audio?
I can pull it up.
It's near and dear to our hearts.
Not mine. You'd like him to wear blue on the road all the time.
That's right.
Yeah, I would too.
I feel like there's a compromise with the batting practice hat they wear. I like that hat. It's got the red bill, but a navy derby.
I do believe we have it.
Derby.
Purple?
It's not a derby.
Crown. Call it a crown.
Ooh, I think derby's better, but I'm going to use crown.
This is DeWitt regarding the road cast.
Doug, this is the explanation. Because we got it. We start screaming at each other about this.
I bet you do.
I actually like the look of the red hat on the road because we wear red shoes. I wanted to go black shoes back when we were sort of changing things back for the old retro look. So you'd have black shoes and, you know, a blue cap and a blue belt, and that kind of matches, right?
Mm-hmm.
But red shoes, blue belt, blue hat, that doesn't really work. I mean, I talked to Ozzie Smith about it. He's like, that's a disaster, Mr. Fashion Plate. He's like...
he is GQ smooth.
Right, so... the two hats on the road was a way of kind of splitting the baby, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it was, and the way we justified it was, I've always loved sporting events where the two teams uniform-wise are perfect contrasts.
Yeah.
How dare you, Tim? How dare you discuss that when the team needs a closer?
It kind of sounded like Gladwell discussing fries. There.
You're one of the sheep.
Let's take a listen.
Sheeple.
But it did sound like he was very into the conversation about the Caps at the tail end.
He is. He's. That's the thing. It was like the reason why the Cardinal uniforms are, you know, so they're regarded so highly. In particular, the home uniform. Bill DeWitt III takes that very seriously, and so. It's not like I'm bringing something up and it's like the Diamondbacks with their six different versions or the Padres with their billion versions of uniforms just trying to have some form of revenue stream because they've got, you know, nothing going attendance-wise. This is something he takes seriously, and so that's the explanation. Now, Doug, we don't have to like it, but that's the reasoning for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if the shoes to me matter, but I guess, like, what do the Nationals do? I know that, like, what are the chances somebody actually knows what color shoes the Nationals wear on the road? But that to me is a similar kind of deal.
You got the wrong guy.
Never even noticed, really, the shoes not
matching. I know, I didn't either. But But he said the Wizard says that's a fashion disaster.
Is he going to listen to Tim or the Wizard?
I'm going to be in the Hall of Fame someday, too.
I'm with him, though.
AVN Hall of Fame.
I'm with him when he says he likes it when the uniforms contrast by the two teams. I notice that even more in football.
So do I.
Like when Clemson plays Alabama and you've got orange going against dark red, it's like, this is really ugly to look at.
You know what was a beautiful uniform contrast? And see if you fly with me on this, baby. Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
All right.
Rose Bowl last year, Penn State against USC.
Kind of interesting.
Nice.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah, the navy jerseys of Penn State, very simple, copied from St. Louis U High.
Right.
No need to be flashy. We just know we're better already. And then you have the USC gold pants. And what color are those derbies they wear? Maroon?
Scarlet?
Mm.
Okay, tough guy. I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
I'm not ready.
Give me the Mount Rushmore of great contrasting bowl matchups.
Wow. Well, I think everybody remembers the Texas Bowl from last month.
It's not a bowl game, but I always like it when USC plays UCLA and they both wear their dark jerseys.
I like that too, baby.
This is talk for people that like The Bachelor. If you're a fan of The Bachelor, you're going to enjoy the uniform, so have at it, you two.
They used to always wear dark jerseys. Teams would have only one jersey, and it was a dark jersey.
Really?
And
what changed?
Because there was no television, everyone could see who was who. But then when they start putting it on black and white TV, you couldn't tell one team from the next.
That's interesting.
So then they went to the white jersey, so you knew who was who.
And the Nationals, almost identical with the Cardinals look. However, on the road, they do the gray on gray, black shoes, black belt with the blue cap with the red bill.
See, that's what I'd like to see the Cardinals do. I love the Nationals hat. But the Nationals hat, if I'm not mistaken, the W is white with the navy. See, the Cardinal
it looks like
navy is a red STL.
White with a red outlining.
Right, but the Cardinal STL is red.
The Nationals look like they're playing for Walgreens.
Well, that's their logo.
I like them.
But Doug's talking about the logo.
Is Walgreens.
Doug, which
logo
do you favor, needlepoint or crochet?
Needlepoint.
All right,
you can stab someone next to you if they get out of line.
You know, you hear people sometimes say, I've left Twitter and I find my world's a lot better. I'm not real active on it anyway, so it doesn't. But I mean, occasionally, like, well, I've got a couple minutes, I'll scroll through and I'm like, oh God, why'd I do that? But something that I have consciously left and haven't regretted at all is The Bachelor. And last night, Anna Marie had on, she goes, if you don't want to watch, I go, no, I'm answering emails, so it'll just be on the background. But then I couldn't help but get distracted by the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the reason why I'm not on board with it. It's kind of like uniforms. I'm evaluating this way too seriously for what it is. But it's so obvious what it is, which is a fake show portrayed as being real. And so kind of like Larry Nichols' appearances, I guess we need to have a Bachelor correspondent as well. And now you already have the villain, and then she'll get eliminated during February sweeps. It's amazing how it always works out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the girls catching on that she's not in it for the right reasons.
Right.
And I'm going, oh, I watched this in 2003. What am I doing with myself?
Somehow compelling. Poor Bibiana. I mean, she dressed well for the rose ceremony, but she didn't make the cut.
Nice.
And she was given the old hee-ho last night. And Annalise was begging for a kiss, begging for
it.
Got
rejected.
And at one point, she's looking into Ari's eyes and kind of leaning over to him on the couch, and he turns away and says, hey, this is a pretty nice place here.
This is unbelievable. Your son was nearly permanently disfigured, and you were fine just sitting back and watching that
junk. He was on the drive up from New Orleans. He wasn't home yet.
55.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He didn't get to St. Louis till midnight. Yeah.
Say you're pressed for time if you have time to sit back and eat bonbons and watch that.
I wasn't eating bonbons. I was eating that Bunny Tracks ice cream.
Oh, you're addicted to that, aren't you?
Oh, God, is it good. Oh, my word, is that good.
I don't want to. What is it again?
It's Blue Bunny Tracks ice cream.
Yeah, but what's in it, baby? What's in it?
Oh, it's
mostly
like
mostly vanilla.
Vanilla, and there's some caramel in there, and there's big, giant chocolate chunks. It's just fantastic.
Now, what happens when you come across a big chunk? Do you consider yourself blessed? You're like, life is good.
I've got
to tweet out a picture of it and say blessed.
Yeah, I did.
Love my life.
At one point, I had to tweet it out. I don't even scoop it and put it in a bowl anymore. I just grab the carton and start eating right out of the carton.
Do you take a moment and say life is good?
Yeah, when I've got that bunny tracks
and the bachelor's
ice cream,
on,
I got what I want.
All right. You deserve it, Doug. You're a good man.
Do you watch it with any other family members?
Everyone watches it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
John Vaughn's there with you?
Well, when he's home, yeah, he'll watch it.
Nice.
Everyone watches.
Boy, with you and trying to get a nap today and eating ice cream, that's at home, you're probably just the guy that sits around, naps, and eats ice cream.
Mm-hmm. I find sometimes when I work late, I get home, the first thing I do is reach for the Bunny Tracks ice cream.
Boy, and your body's yet lithe and rewarding.
Well, not lithe. I shouldn't do it, but that's what I do.
Why don't you get
proud of it. No, gosh,
why don't you
no.
get a Blue Bunny tattoo on your shoulder?
I may. Greg Vaughn said, you know what you ought to do? You ought to tweet it out and do a hashtag Blue Bunny, and sometimes they'll send you a whole bunch of free ice cream if you do that. Because he had a friend who did that with a snack or something. They sent him the company sent him a box of snacks. I said, okay, I'll try that with Blue Bunny.
I'm going to do that with Brazzers
right
now.
I'm not too proud, and I tried it. I got nothing from Blue Bunny.
How about Doug, that's Bitcoin? A telltale sign of menopause. Sad. It's from Butch Patrick's Werewolf Doll.
Yeah, it's a sign of something.
Tweet out that you're a big fan of Bitcoin. They'll probably send you Bitcoin.
I don't think they'll send you cash, no. I see the stock market's up over 26,000, though. How about that? It's up 250 today.
How's
what
your
do you
portfolio?
Track it day to day? That's not how you're supposed to look at your 401k.
Well, how can you not?
Unless you're doing
up.
Unless you're making moves in day trading, which you're not.
It's up 33% in a year. The Dow is up 33% in a year. That's stunning.
Stunning. Good for the 401k. Good for America.
Say, yeah. Yeah, it sure is.
Economic growth.
Yes. Yes. It's a
lot of
thing.
Other crap going along with it.
Well, you'll take the growth for your IRA and 401k, won't you?
I said that.
Yeah.
I already said that. That'll tell you what, though. You invest wisely, you're set for life with Blue Bunny. You don't need them to send you free stuff. You'll be 70 years old, retired with a whole freezer dedicated to just Blue Bunny.
It might be the case.
Doug, since I know in a roundabout way you're talking about the president, here is Katie Nolan. She was suspended from it. Was she suspended? Yeah, I know you're... She was not. But you like Katie, but you don't like that she won't do an interview with you. Is that where things stand? Am I correct? It's Katie Nolan and Lady Gaga and...
Yeah, I mean, I don't care anymore. I mean, but she seems to be doing a lot of interviews lately.
She was doing a lot. Yeah, that's correct.
She's on three podcasts of comedians and now this thing, whatever it is.
Why did she turn you down?
I don't know. Maybe she's seen my tweets. She thinks I'm a creep.
Clip that off.
Don't know how she would get that idea.
It can be applicable so many times. But here is Katie Nolan with Richard Deitch, I believe, on her controversial. Now, she called, correct me if I'm wrong, she was on a podcast, Vice Sports. And if I'm wrong, I'm paraphrasing here, although I've listened to this interview on Richard Deitch's podcast. Donald Trump, if I'm not mistaken, she called him effing stupid. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Can I get a confirmation? I don't know if you guys were.
Effing stupid.
And she was suspended by ESPN.
Was she?
She was
not. I didn't think she was. No.
Okay.
What are they going to suspend her from? A 3-minute Snapchat she does once a week?
You're not happy with Katie in a big way. Are you not happy with Katie or you're not happy with ESPN?
I'm not happy with ESPN. They're not using her the right way.
Okay. What do you think she should be doing?
Integrated into other shows where the topic is where she can be funny and entertaining and not just sit there and talk sports, because that's not her forte.
Even though I'm not a big Sports Nation guy, I guess that's on at like 3 or 3:30. I guess Michelle Beadle's on it with Marcellus Wiley and LZ Granderson.
Oh, the LZ.
You're a fan.
No, and I don't think Proud Joe is either. I think Proud Joe went after
him, Joe's a misanthropist.
Too.
So if he's a person, Joe doesn't like him. But, I got an argument with LZ Granderson on Twitter because he said something about St. Louis and the Rams that was factually inaccurate, and I didn't, scream at him. I'm just like, well, that's not, and then he backed up, and then he just gave up, but whatever.
He didn't take it to the bank?
He went, and then he misstated something else, and then he bailed.
He's not very good.
So that's the show I would put her on because you can't mess with Will Bonacornaise. You don't want to mess with that chemistry. I think she's above around the horn.
Oh, yeah.
And Levitard, I kind of feel like she would make sense on Levitard's show. I sit in my basement, and that's kind of my office now, and I just have that stuff on in the background. Mina Kimes is very good. Are you anybody familiar with her?
Yeah, she is.
You're familiar with her, Doug?
No.
Oh, okay.
She's used on Around the Horn a lot, but I think Dan Levitard's a big fan of her.
Yeah,
so she's
an up-and-comer. Deitch talks about this with Katie in this podcast. I would guess in her early 30s, very good writer, mm-hmm. brilliant. I went to a couple. I mean, she's just very smart. Anyway, here is Katie Nolan addressing her controversial Trump quip on that podcast.
I've recently learned the lesson that there is a lens on ESPN that I certainly misjudged or underestimated, I guess, that people are focusing on, looking for, interested in seeing people confirm what they already think about this network. And so I would say, if I were to say I don't feel as free, that's not because I feel like I can't say what I want. I would say it's because I feel like people are waiting for me to say something so that they can use it to prove a belief that they already have. So if I could go back, I would just have not said it. It isn't a opinion that I hold so strongly and need the world to know that I was standing on a soapbox and making a... If I were going to make an argument against anyone, I would make a much stronger, more informed argument.
Just for the record, I think all the shows on ESPN are really, really good.
Oh, what? Boy, here comes what? The rights holder with that now.
What?
Getting ready for
what?
The 2019 yeah. season.
What?
You don't care about Fox so much anymore?
You're kind of no, down they're great them? Too, but as you know, I've always been a big fan of ESPN right. and their brand.
Okay.
So I didn't hear her podcast where she said, I mean, it's such a, it's, you know, I, again, my perspective, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I overvalue her ability, but I just think very highly of her. But I thought it was just like, I thought it was like just above her. I think it's kind of above the vast majority of people. Just like, oh, he's effing stupid. You know, I mean, like if you're having a discussion, like if you're just like having like a BS conversation, you know, fire away. But if you're on an interview, it's like, you know,
it'll get your retweets.
I guess it's just like if you want to, if what is your opinion of the president? Do you even want to go down that road? I'm sure you go through your mind and then, okay, well, here is the reason why I like him or here is the reason why I don't like him. You do that, and it's kind of like, you know, I mean, I feel like because I think she is incredibly bright and a nuanced thinker, and I'm high on her sense of humor and her willingness to give opinions, I'm like, ah, oh, that was just kind of, it's just like playing to like this certain, just like if you're saying, I think he's brilliant and on those liberals with, you know, I mean, it's just like, ugh, you know. So I was like, ah, I'm surprised in the sense that she went down that road because what are you getting there?
I listened to it, and she'd been on that podcast before, and I feel like when you're comfortable and have a rapport with somebody, and I'm not saying they baited her into that, but they did. She didn't bring up the Trump topic. I do believe they brought it up, and so maybe she just felt comfortable as if she was talking to friends and kind of forgot that maybe what I say could go national, even if it was just – I mean, I missed it when I first heard it, and it was – you know, 2 or 3 second soundbite, right. And it was over.
What I think, what she was referring to in the first half of it, I do think was the more interesting part of it, which is there currently is, and I think Clay Travis is in part responsible for it, whether that's a compliment or criticism. I just view it as being what I have seen develop of people who associate right now ESPN with liberalism and those who don't like liberalism, therefore don't like ESPN. And so then the narrative becomes anytime ESPN either has a bad numbers report, job cuts, or Jamil Hill, Katie Nolan says something, it's like, oh, well, what happened here? What happened here with John Skipper? What happened? So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy of failure for ESPN. And I do think that she is correct that there are people looking for that, whereas it was a flippant comment. But the comment itself, I'm just like, you know, I just think she's way, way better than making a comment where it's a zero upside, plus it's not particularly nuanced. But at the same time, like you're saying, Plowhawk, if it's a casual conversation on a podcast, not an interview, then, you know, the filter comes. That's the goal in a podcast. It's kind of like I like when somebody starts cussing in a podcast who normally doesn't cuss because then I know they're comfortable. It's like I interviewed Kachuk last week and he starts cussing, whereas for the first 20 minutes he wasn't. And I'm like, oh, good. He goes, oh, can I say this? And I go, yeah, absolutely. So she was comfortable, but it's just like you also have to be aware once you're at that point that there can be some shrapnel for those comments. Now, if you don't care, then God bless, but ESPN does, and that's the current issue.
I just God bless her. I she's, you know, sort of a fringe player for ESPN. I didn't really need to have her clarify that comment. It seemed like something she just said on a podcast. I don't think it's a big deal.
I don't get too worked up over what they say politically on ESPN. I think it's clear by what they've done that it's a very liberal network, but I don't watch ESPN for political commentary. I just care about the games that they have on.
Well, you can dismiss it, but it has been addressed by both the president and Sarah Sanders at press conferences.
I don't know why they get worked up about it. I they ought to just leave it alone.
I would agree with that. But that's why it now has a spotlight on it. Jemele Hill, and so what people are saying, well, why wasn't Katie Nolan suspended? And then they go to the Jemele Hill thing. But Jemele Hill actually wasn't necessarily suspended for Donald Trump as a racist. It was encouraging people to boycott sponsors. And that's a part of the story that, you know, understandably, unless you're really following this stuff, you may not be aware of it.
Yeah.
So then it gets back to the ESPN social media policy and then their hosts, really minus, unless I'm missing somebody, Will Cain, you know. And I suppose Linda Cohn, I don't know if she would be considered liberal or conservative, but she acknowledged that the politics of ESPN has cost them viewers, in her opinion. That doesn't mean that she's conservative, nor does it mean she's liberal. It's her observation.
I can see how it may cost them a viewer on those talk shows, but I just can't believe anybody would say, I'm not going to watch a basketball or a football game because of it.
Right.
I just don't know that anybody would do that. They might say they're going to do it, but whether they really do it, I doubt it. For some reason, it doesn't bother me so much that ESPN is so liberal. It drives me crazy that, like, the NBC Twitter feed is so agenda-driven. I mean, that's a over-the-air, FCC-regulated network that's not supposed to behave that way.
That's why I was saying I think we're at a more divisive time. You know, you were saying, well, do you know, a day-to-day, I see it everywhere. You know, friends say stuff like, to me, I'm at the point where if I want to order pizza, I don't need to look up where they stand on the political spectrum. If I want to watch a game on ESPN, I'm so desensitized. I'm numb, really. It's numb to everything. I don't think you have to figure out where, you know, a certain person, a certain network, a certain food chain is on the political spectrum to go ahead and live your life. That's where I think it's really coming to the forefront. And for some people, they do live their lives.
I would. Here is an official recommendation. I can't recommend it enough. The cat, you're a Netflix guy.
I've seen Netflix. I don't watch. No, we've watched movies off of.
Doug, are you a Netflix? Do you have the Netflix?
No, I don't.
They have shows on Netflix that I've never seen. Put it that way.
John Vaughn got it. Is that what you said?
Yeah, he just got it.
Well, then you got it.
Well, apparently you can only use it on two TVs in your house, and they have to be a smart TV, or you got to get a Fire Stick. Is that what it's called?
No, you just need common sense.
Oh, my word.
I'm kidding.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word.
It's got to be a smart TV to share it from another Fire Stick.
It does. I was kidding. But your
son's on 2.5 hours sleep, Plowsy.
And what I said was true also.
Wow.
But your sons do have gaming systems, am I correct? An Xbox One, a PS4.
Yeah, but it's not in the downstairs room where family room where I would watch, okay. Or my bedroom where I would watch.
Then I will step down, but still I think it's easier than what you're putting on.
Well, it isn't. It's you either have to have a smart TV to share what the Netflix he's getting off his Fire Stick, or you got to have another Fire Stick.
I'll step down.
All right.
So you're going to step down.
I think you need Netflix, though. I think you would really enjoy the documentaries on there. I think that'd be right up your alley.
Well, what were you saying? So what do we
David Letterman now has a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he's only doing #6 interviews, but his first interview, and the audience is all there, and they just want to see David Letterman. They don't know who the guest is going to be. At least it's portrayed that way, and I don't think that Letterman needs to do gimmicks to fill a theater.
Agreed.
And they're guessing who the guest is, and then out comes President Obama. And while I realize I say President Obama, people line up, yes, or people line up, I hate him. Okay, but here is the thing that I thought was the most fascinating part of it, and it only went about 50 minutes, which I think is a mistake because I think you would watch David Letterman interview anybody, in particular the guests that he has. You can imagine it's a high caliber of notoriety with the guests. You could go 90 minutes, and I felt like they edited down a part that was absolutely fascinating. And so Letterman asks about, you know, potential Russian interference with the presidential election, and what Obama says is, well, all the Russians did was what, in a sense, we have already been doing over the last number of years with accentuating the bubble that people consume their news and information and opinions in. And he said, if you watch Fox News, you live on a completely different planet than somebody who listens to NPR. Now, I noticed that Fox News took that and said, if you watch Fox News, you live on a different planet, and didn't include the rest of the context of the soundbite. And if you watch the whole interview, you say he's not taking a shot at Fox News, nor is he taking a shot at NPR. He's observing that if you watch one piece of information consistently versus somebody who watches a different piece of information consistently, your viewpoint, therefore, because of the information you get, is completely different. When I interviewed Jack Danforth, he said that was one of the main issues right now with political division, because what, for example, Doug considers to be facts versus what I consider to be facts are probably different. And so therefore, when I say something, Doug goes, oh my God, that's not true. And that's when, and then you say something, I go, oh my God, that's not true, because I'm watching something different. And that's at the core of it. And so I don't necessarily think the consumer across the board, now you can picture the people you don't like on Twitter or Facebook, and that drives you up the wall. But overall, in the bell curve, in the middle of the bell curve, is malicious. But perhaps the actual networks, knowing that they're going to profit off of the bubble, they're the ones who are acting with some form of malice.
Let me ask you a question, because I find this the most fascinating thing of what you just said, because I think it, and if it's, I think it speaks to the divisiveness we live with day to day now. So what it actually did President Obama say, the quote about bubble?
I am paraphrasing, but from memory, he said, if you watch Fox News, you live on a different planet than somebody who listens to NPR. What did Fox News do? They took it and said,
if you watch... I saw that everywhere. That yes. It was, if you watch Fox News, you live on a different planet.
Right.
As if it wasn't in
right.
context.
Exactly.
Meaning
exactly.
The other side of this. And I'm not saying it to call out Fox News, because the left does it, the right does it, and this is the problem. Everyone is trying to throw a wedge into everything. I'll say it again. Most people that I know, most people in this country, in my limited experience in life, are somewhere in the middle. Most people can find grounds to agree upon. And because of the media age we live in, everyone is trying to drive a wedge into everything. And it's cherry-picking facts. Both sides do it. Yeah. Not one.
I agree with you. And usually, as I say, I loathe the both sides do it because I feel like it's a cop-out. But I couldn't agree more. And I do. And like, it's, for example, like I follow... You know, follow Fox News, follow Huffington Post, for example. And as a social liberal, super social liberal, what I see going on over like the last X amount of months with like the Huffington Post, which is already liberal as it was, I'm just going, God, I can't handle this because it's so obvious what's going on. And so what? So my whole point on here, here's President Obama, a Democrat. Here's Jack Danforth, a Republican, both of whom I respect a great deal. Policy-wise, I'm sure I would differ with some of them on both fronts, but observing something that I do think is at the core, I actually think it's at the core of the issue right now. And the thing that was, quote, disappointing of the interview with Letterman, which I can't recommend enough. I can't. When I saw that it was available on Friday night, I'm like, oh my God, this is what we were watching. I can't wait. Is that it didn't go longer. And then I kind of felt like, for those of you who watched it, and I realize I'm speaking to maybe 2% of the audience right now, I didn't feel like it went long enough. I felt like it went too much into, and this isn't a racist comment by any means. I think people know where I am on that stuff. But that I think Letterman traveled to Selma to go over the bridge with, is it John Lewis, am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Civil rights. So, and I felt like, so then he framed a lot of the interview with President Obama about that, because they already had the footage and the travel, and they spent maybe 20% of the interview on that, which I'm like, you have President Obama there, get more than, you know, you can spend time on that, but I feel like there was more to get. But it certainly talked about him more as a personal personal experience with his raising his kids, which is something everybody can relate to. But I thought that part about the respective bubbles, not that it's like, oh wow, I've never thought about that before, but hearing it from his perspective, somebody who has been penalized by it, but also somebody who benefited from it, certainly benefited from it, to me is you know, the most enlightening part of the discussion. Even though, again, it's not like it's like, oh, I've never heard this before, but to hear his perspective on it, I couldn't agree with it more. And then the cat you cite that, you know, it happens to be from Fox News, but here is me coming from the social left going, I'm looking at this stuff on whether it be Huffington Post, you know, it's just like, you know, I see what's going on. I'm going, God, this is... sick, and nobody's safe, because it's like, okay, we need a new story today. We got to take this person down, and F process And by F, I mean the F word. F the process. We just got to take him down on social media. Okay, we got him. We got her. Next. And that just really screws up discourse.
You know who doesn't do that? Former Department of Justice Tax Division Attorney Mark Milton. He plays it right down the middle.
Nicely done,
His
Jack.
Website is stltaxlawyer.com.
You're good.
He got his accounting degree at Illinois, got his law degree from SLU Law. He just knows the laws. All he does, and he knows the IRS. If you got a problem with the IRS, maybe years of unfiled tax returns that are driving you crazy, you're worried about that, facing tax liens, bank levies, wage garnishments, whatever the problem is, Mark Milton can guide you through them to a successful conclusion. Mark Milton, the STL tax lawyer, provide a local and holistic approach to tax resolution. Did you know that STLTaxLawyer.com also prepares tax returns for individuals and small businesses? Call today or stop by Mark's new office right here by our studios, corner of Woodlawn and Manchester and Kirkwood at 10260 Manchester Road. Here's his number. I'll give it to you now. 314-394-3370. 314-394-3370. His name again, Mark Milton. Remember, the choice of a lawyer is an important decision, should not be based solely on advertisements.
Mark Milton is our tax guy.
Right down the middle.
If you're the kind of guy that's going to base your decision on who to hire with advertisements, then you might be a guy that needs a mortgage. Or maybe you're a guy that would just want to refinance your mortgage because you got your you know, fingers
you got a guy?
A lot of different places. I got a guy for you. His name is Kelly. His name is Ryan Kelly.
Oh, title sponsor.
Yeah, some call him Ryan Mortgage. This is where Plowsy went just the other day to get pre-approved, and that's a smart thing to do. That's a smart thing to do because then you're not looking at a lot of houses that are out of your budget. Or maybe you can afford more house than you thought you could.
Or if you want to move on one, you already got the apparatus ready
Ryan
to go.
Kelly can do that for you. He's done that for Plowsy. He's done that for many, many people over the years. He can help you refinance. He can help you get that new mortgage, and he can certainly help you get pre-approved. Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team work hard so you don't have to. If you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why would you go anywhere else? Call Ryan at 314-781-9700 or visit him online at thehomeloanexpert.com.
A lot of texts coming in. I guess some people have watched. I really would recommend it. Plowhawk, have you watched it?
What?
The Letterman?
No,
it's
I have
so
not.
So good.
No. I will today.
It just could have been better.
It
could have gone longer. I was just like, I wish he would do more. But I'm sure Netflix and probably, it's Letterman's production company that owns it, Worldwide Pants, which owned his show. And then I think the late shows after him, which have been Kilborn, Ferguson, and I don't know if he still owns Corden. But either way, I just thought, God, you could go 90 minutes with this. But he knows better than I do. The stuff Obama talked about on the Google searches from a liberal conservative. Oh, yeah, this was good, too. Wow. The stuff Obama talked about on the Google searches from a liberal conservative and moderate on the Egypt revolution was great, too. That's from the 314. Like, if you're a liberal, what you typed in for Google searches while that was going on and the data on that. And if you're a conservative, what you typed in the Google searches while that was going on and how different it was.
It's, like what? Give me an example.
I don't recall what the terms were, but it was vastly different. Vastly different. And it just, again, it speaks to the perspective. I wish Doug would do more to my bum. That's from Pete from Long Island. What the hell's that have to do with what we just...
Pete from Long Island just got himself suspended right here at the end of the show. Just got himself suspended Pete right here at the end of the show.
Pete. So did Pete move?
For a period of 2 days' time. I would like to thank the fine folks at Hot Shots for supplying the suspension log. It is leather bound.
If you move from Staten Island to Long Island, that's a move up.
Yes. Yes, I would say.
Is there a move down from Staten Island?
Bronx?
You're right in the water if you move down. You have a house underwater.
No, I'm talking about geographically, demographically, the New York area.
Okay. Camden, New Jersey. That's the bottom. That's the rock
bottom.
Is that
right?
Yeah, that's New York area.
Guys, CJ6 is the worst group of people on the fan page. Don't say anything mean or they'll get personal and run you off. What in the hell? Mm. This is the 424 again. Doug, this 424.
Well, who's that?
Do you know what's going on with this 424?
I don't.
LA, isn't it?
He's a snoop bull. Yeah, I think we did say it was an LA area, so I don't know. Big shot.
And the
I think they're calling him out on Noshin and Josh. And I think I saw that.
Andy
too.
Hanselman said, Doug, have you listened to the new edition of Noshin and Josh?
I haven't
no.
yet. I'll
I got Andy
one.
Hanselman said, so I can give you like kind of a bootleg copy because I have to, because it goes into the fan page discussion. And I said, the one thing, I don't want any legal exposure on this podcast. So if you guys name people's names, because there is one guy who's kind of, you know, I'm talking about Plowhawk on the fan page.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what went on there. Fascinating character.
It's the fan page.
He
what
really
did
likes
Hanselman
the Rams.
Say on this podcast?
I haven't listened to it yet. Oh. He sent it to me last night, like at 10:30. So I'll probably.
I think he's a
to
great American.
He loves America. He'll be on the ones and twos for the TMA Live at Hot Shots Dorset a week from Thursday. Doug, to get Netflix, you need a smart TV, Fire Stick, Apple TV, or access to the fan page to take advantage of and mooch off of others' account information. Thanks. Justin in Columbia decided late in the show was the time to strike.
And that's right. I mean, my HBO Go account, I sold, I think, I bought for an autograph or an autograph.
What?
Somebody's...
Somebody gave you their account information when you signed something for them?
Yeah, they said, hey, I heard you need and use some more things to watch. And I said, yeah, I kind of tapped out on Netflix. This is before they brought up all the specials on Netflix. He's like, how about you use my HBO Go? And I said, okay. And he messaged me his information. It's still kicking today.
No fooling,
bud. It's awesome.
Guys, the hell with Long Island. That's from Pete in Staten Island. So I don't know what's going on here. How did we get into New York? I mean, that's a good market to get into, even though we're kind of targeting the Billings talent scout.
Our signal booms. You know, you talk about streaming, and that's well and good, but it's our signal. That's
Pete,
really
Staten
what
Island,
the
show's.
It could be we play Francesa more now here than what is played in New York, and his
Pete,
fans.
Staten Island, what's up, Pete?
Listen to us just to hear the man's voice every now and then. He's completely off now, right?
Yeah.
Possibly to come back, but for now, the only place you can hear him is here.
I went to college with a guy named Pete who was from Long Island. The thing about Pete was, he was one of those guys, when he'd shave, he never got the shaving cream out of his ears, so every day he would have
Pete,
shaving
Staten Island,
cream.
What's up, Pete?
You did some interviews with LaRussa like that.
I tried to dab.
Are there any children named Pete anymore? You don't hear a lot of Peters nowadays.
I think our Italian-American friends still name their kids Pete.
Pete in Staten Island, what's up, Pete?
It used to be an extremely popular name. You don't hear it much anymore.
Have
Doug,
a kick
way.
Block team. He's got to try and block a kick at 56-0. He's a horse's ass for doing that.
Tim, I liked the show a ton, but agree it could have gone for another half hour or more. I wonder if President Obama or his people asked Letterman to keep the questions away from Trump. I would imagine the answer to that is yes. However, I don't think that's President Obama taking the high road exclusively to him. If you recall, President George W. Bush also didn't comment on Barack Obama.
And most presidents do not comment on other presidents.
So
that's decorum.
So I would imagine that was the case, although I think that's an astute observation, Butch Patrick's werewolf. Now, it seemed like Letterman wanted to get into it more, and Obama just, you know, didn't. The trouble with Tim. Doug, what's the trouble with me? There's a lot of choices.
Let's hear what he has to say.
The trouble with Tim is not that he's ignorant. It's just that he knows so much that isn't so. That's from Tracy Hounsome.
Pete in Staten Island, what's up, Pete?
No, Tracy Hounsome.
I don't know what Tracy's driving at.
There's a trouble with me. The trouble with Tim is not that he's ignorant. It's just that he knows so much that isn't so.
I just think you think on a meta level, and people can't keep up. And that's why you're misunderstood.
Right. I did that interview really right there, and I was able to keep up.
I think there's people on both sides of the aisle, as we touched on it earlier, who have their own set of facts at this point. They watch who they watch, and what you're getting is so wildly different that the people who watch the ESPNs and the NBCs, they get one set of facts of what's going on, and the people that watch Fox News gets entirely different.
I am sick, and I'm tired.
I think it goes beyond that. I think there's such team ideology now where you hate the other side that instead of saying, well, let me see what this is about. Let me see what the other side is saying. Mm-hmm. No, you rail against it, and you stay in your own bubble.
That's essentially what the theme of it was, and it came out of nowhere because it came out of the Russia question. All right, it's time for the Hot Shots email of the day. Doug, I don't hear a lot of Peters anymore, but I've tasted a few.
No.
It's from Hipster at Tower Grove South. What is that?
He clutched onto something right in the last 2 minutes of the show that he could be vile about. It got him suspended, however. It got him suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name is going into this here suspension logule. Hey, thank you, Hot Shots.
Kind of buried the lead, boys. The Barstool Chicks called it Silicon Valley as opposed to the more popular Silicon Valley. Keep up the great work. Thanks. That's from Dan Meadle.
Dan Meadle.
I love Dan.
He's not written in months, and that's what he writes in about. Oh, I heard him say something slightly wrong.
Oh, lay off Dan.
I'm disappointed in that email.
More in this past Thanksgiving, I spent some time with my Uncle Jeff. We were making out all night.
Oh.
And his... What's wrong with that?
Well, there's a lot wrong with incest.
I'm glad you're able to clear the air about
that. Well, he said, what's wrong with it?
We were making out all night, and his breath smelled of high viscosity gravy and Camel Lights. He whispered in my ear and told me the secret to his famous meatloaf recipe. Brine that loaf in a combination of heavily salted water, but don't forget to spice it up with fresh thyme and the matted tufts of shrubs from the inner thigh of a Fenton North graduate. Serve that steamy loaf up with a side of fresh biscuits, as well as freshly chopped boy salad served out of the leaky coin slot of a local ladyboy. Boom. Michelin stars, bitches. Think about it. That's from Tunnels 1206.
Poor email.
Do you have a picture?
I do, and please don't comment on the picture at all, because you know why once you see it.
1206.
No comment. And don't answer any questions on the fan page when asked who the picture was of.
Well, I don't know who that is.
As a direct
order.
I worry about the plow hawk. Guys, Plops here. First off, happy birthday to Matt, who bowls at Hank's. I believe he turns 30 today. That's 45 in doggy-style years. I got him one of those big green breads that looks like a snake that you see around St. Patrick's Day because he yearns for yeast. I also got him a Nick Lachey poster from Spencer's, a dilly treat, and a Hispanic hooker named Gordon. I found Gordon at the eyebrow threading kiosk next to Timberfake screen printing kiosk at South County Mall.
Oh.
He was getting his taint flossed and happened to be available today, so win-win. Unlike Mike Lee, Matt only celebrates his birthday once a year as opposed to quarterly. Unlike Larry Nickel, Matt won't unfriend you on all social media channels and shut down a Facebook Live video about wrestling for wishing him a happy birthday. Enjoy your day, you butt slut. And as far as this show and the rest of yous, hi, I guess. I don't know. I don't listen. Thanks, Misty Plops, fan of birthdays.
Misty Plops, fan of birthdays.
Dear Barry the Bull Shark Harris, as beat reporter for The Athletic, don't you have better things to do than to tweet out pictures of the commemorative Hope Slowo bobblehead? Instead, maybe you should grill ownership on why they won't spend for a top-tier striker. From now on, I'm getting my fair, accurate Athletic reports from their announcer, Joe Paluzzi. He's the only one with the stones to call out Lori Kolupny for not slide tackling with her left leg. And she's a tough girl. I saw her lift a semi at the strongest women competition. Once Joe was so angry about them switching to an Amsterdam shuttlecock defense, he went to a party after the game and took a swing at his boss. Now that's passion. Something you, Mr. Bull Shark, know nothing about. And you can take that to the bank. That's some Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech. And that's what we have for that email today.
Independence
Day. Show me what
Day
you got,
speech.
Little mama. Show me what you got, little lady. Show me what you got, short A.
I didn't put any check marks down,
no.
Doug.
I got an X under Tunnels 1206. I'll give it to Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
I go with Tunnels 1206.
He's not eligible.
So we're tied at one.
No, we go to the Speaker of the House.
Oh, of course. It's the recipe by Tunnels.
Yeah, it's a meatloaf recipe. Lucas. People can use that.
And a picture.
Time for us to shut it down. Frank is up next. He has a real show. And it's called the Hollywood Casino Press Box for the Plowhawk, for Iggy, for the Seamaster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Sullivan Vaughn, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS Live, from the Gateway Buick Jeep Studios.